22 after 6 is the time. Delighted that Charlotte Leslie is with me, the Conservative MP for Bristol North West. Let's break away from the politics chat, because I know sport is, as you're smiling, sport is something really big in your life, isn't it?
It's not as big in my life currently as I'd like it to be, because I have less time to do it. But sport's really got me where I've got.
Did you really box?
I did.
When you were younger?
I boxed at Spaniorum Farm Gym, run by Tex Woodward.
That's Jane Couch territory.
It is. I boxed with Jane. Well, I didn't, thankfully, spar with Jane. I was about 14. But when women boxing wasn't really taking off at all, Jane came to Texas, and I was there at that time. And we had Lennox Lewis there. We had Frank Bruno there. It was an amazing place and an amazing time to be involved in boxing. And I was always very angry. I was a very angry young person. I had my hair shaved off, and I looked like an angry little boy.
What, the Sinead O'Connor look?
Not quite Sinead O'Connor, but it was pretty short. Right, okay. I did look like a nasty little bruiser.
What, so are we talking about, am I talking with a tomboy, a former tomboy here?
Yes, yes, you are. Yeah. I got chucked out of girls' changing rooms. They say, oh, you know, get out of there. And I go, but I'm a girl. And they say, oh, yes, yeah.
Well, they thought you were
They
boy.
Thought I was a boy trying to get into the girls' changing rooms, and I had to eventually convince them without going the full way that I
it's
was
right
actually
to think
a
the scenario
girl.
At this point. And swimming, you're a decent swimmer, aren't you?
Yeah, swimming. I used to box for cross training for swimming, and I trained with the City of Bristol for a superb coach, Eric Henderson, and I swam with Thornbury Swimming Club and Southwold Swimming Club in Yate. And my pinnacle of my achievement was reaching national finals in 200 and 100 backstroke.
All right,
and that was hours training a day, 14,000 meters a day, sometimes 5 till 7 in the morning, 5 till 7 in the evening. I thank my mum for getting me up and doing all that, but I had so much energy, it was the thing that kept me from really causing trouble at school. And I'm so thankful to my family for giving me that opportunity, because if I hadn't had that, I could have gone down a very different path in my life.
So without the sport, you could have gone off the rails. Is that what you're almost saying?
I could have gone really off the rails. Right. I know I could. I didn't like establishment. I didn't like authority. I was inexplicably angry.
Why were you angry? You've said that a few times, that you were an angry young woman. Why was that? What were you angry about?
I couldn't have told you. I was always angry about things being unfair and things being wrong. I hated bullying. I hated rules that were made for the sake of it, that weren't rules that were for good. If it was a rule that I could see the good of it, I'd obey it. But if it was a stupid rule put in place just because someone wanted to exert their authority, I couldn't stand that. And
well, that's subjective interpretation, though, isn't it? Because to some people, the rule's there and you respect it and get on with life.
It's it, absolutely. And I think, and if with my good teachers, I behaved really well. With teachers who I decided in my own little world weren't good, I gave them hell. And I'm really sorry to any of those teachers out there who I gave you hell. I'm really sorry. But the other thing was I was dyslexic, and anyone who's dyslexic listening will know there are certain things you can't do, and it makes you feel so stupid and inadequate, and you're so cross with yourself, and you're so cross with all the other systems and things that make you feel stupid. There's this instinct to lash out and be angry, and if you look at the number of dyslexics in prison, it's just terrible. And one of the reasons I do a lot with sport is because I know this is a way that you can build up someone's self-esteem and say, look, you're not stupid, you're brilliant. You may not think in exactly the same way as other people, but you can really do stuff, and actually it can be an advantage. I feel very, very lucky, because things could have gone a very different way.
Politics. Why did you get involved in politics? When was the kind of light bulb moment that you thought, wow, I'm really into politics, I'm going to pursue a career in it?
Do you know what? I always thought politics was a load of old rubbish and people bickering at each other.
Some people say that it is.
And in many ways, yes, it is. But I thought that all the way through school, all the way through university. And when I left university, I didn't know what to do with my life at all. Everyone else seemed to have it sorted, and I just didn't. So I thought, I know, I'm going to park that decision and do a master's. And, you know, next year I'll obviously know what to do. So in the summer after my finals, I went to America. And a friend, it was my birthday, and a friend took me up the Twin Towers on the 11th of August, 2001. And this is weird to say, I got really grumpy up there and said, and I remember this with a chill down my spine, I said, this is awful. What happens if there's a bomb on the 80th floor? It feels really unsafe. Yeah. America seems a really arrogant country. This feels really unsafe. I want to go home. And we had an argument because this was supposed to be my treat. And we even discussed, and this sends a real chill down my spine even today, we discussed, if there was a fire on the 80th floor, would you rather burn or jump? And then, of course, exactly a month later, I was in Chicago and I watched live on TV as people made that terrible decision. Gosh. And I was very much more distant from it than many, many people were to that tragedy, but it absolutely rocked my world apart. And I thought, how can I go back into my little ivory tower when the world is literally blowing up out there? And I was so worried at that point with all the media coverage and the American newspapers about the American reaction of God on our side and good versus evil. And it was like someone kicked me in the belly and I thought, no good's going to come of this. Got to get involved. Made 3 phone calls, phoned my mum and said I'm okay, phoned the airline and said I want to come home, phoned my college and said I can't do that master's. Saw media and politics as a way to do things, thought politics was a load of rubbish, went into media and television, didn't become Kate Adey, changing the world, got into entertainment TV, and that was the point we were going into the Iraq war. And I was so against that, and I thought, I'm a normal person and I can see this is bonkers and dangerous. What's happened to the politicians that they don't? And I thought, this is the time I might get into politics. A leaflet came through my door, seemed like a bit of a push. I thought, right, called the number. The rest is history.
Where was the leaflet from?
It was a Conservative leaflet. I was living in Shepherd's Bush at the time because I was working in White City Television Centre in Union House. And it just came through my door. And I usually throw those stuff away when I was back then. And I thought, well, why not? Called the number. Went along to a meeting. Everyone said, oh, it's a young person. And I basically said I'm miserable in my job and pushed my CV at people. And you have to be pushy in life. And my pushiness paid off and I got a job at a think tank. Before that, I knew nothing about politics. And then I had about sort of a year and a half, 2 years baptism of fire as to what it was all about. Ended up writing the pupil premium, which became the policy, you know, the plank of the coalition. So it was really from nothing to everything. Then worked for David Willetts as Shadow Education Secretary. And that was when people said to me, perhaps you should be an MP.
OK. So going in that way, had that leaflet been from the Labour Party, could you have pursued life as a Labour MP?
No.
Because you're not really into politics at that point. You saw it and thought, oh, I fancy a bit of that. So you went...
I'd always been... I've been vaguely conscious of what the party stood for.
Okay.
And for me, and it's a very personal thing, this, and I respect people who go into any political party. We all actually want to change things for the better. And so absolute respect to everyone. For me, the Conservatives was the party of power to the people. I'd heard Labour people talking about making the world a more equal place and all this and that. But I'd always seen that the people doing the equalising always seemed to have much bigger cars than the people they were equalising. And I saw it as the best of intentions, always ending up with an elite who think they know better. And for me, I'd rather trust the people.
OK. Away from politics, mum triathlete. Very good triathlete, by the way. Dad was a surgeon, yeah?
Yeah, my dad's just retired as a surgeon and getting underneath my mum's feet. Sorry, Dad. And my mum, her feet are seldom on the ground because she's training. She's just won the World Triathlon Championships. And now she's setting her sights on becoming World Ironman champion. So she makes me feel very old and decrepit.
What age is mum?
She's 65. Sorry, mum.
That's going some, isn't it?
It is. People think she's my sister, which is really upsetting. And during the last election...
Not your younger sister, though.
Don't even begin to say that. During the last election, people thought she was me. And I was like, oh, Charlotte Leslie's over there. No, she's not. She's over there. She's over there. So I'm thinking of making her my body double. I've blown it now, haven't I?
Let's talk about these awards you've won. In 2013, Backbench of the Year, that was by The Spectator magazine. And in 2011, the Sexiest MP in Parliament from sexymp.co.uk. Which one are you more proud of?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely more proud of the backbencher of the year.
What did you get for the sexiest MP? Did you get any kind of trophy for the...
No, but my staff were very proud and they told me, I was like, this shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter. Yeah. I'm not sure what to say to that.
What kind of personal life are you able to have away from politics, this all-consuming role that you've got right now? Do you have a personal life? For a pint and the lights?
Yeah, I do.
Do you have romance in your life?
I do indeed, Jeff, yeah? I do. They're very tolerant because I tend to be having to mix personal life with work life. And the thing about my job is it's difficult because it means so much to me. It's very difficult to carve off what's personal and what's work because I care about stuff. That's who I am. And so I find whatever I do, if something comes up and an issue comes up, whether I'm in the local pub with my partner, I want to pursue it and want talking about it. But thankfully, my partner feels the same about people and helping people, so it all works quite well.
Does your partner know about this violent background of yours when you were a youngster?
Afraid so. And they're still here. So what does that say about them?
That's good. So 2015 is a big one, obviously, for you. What are your priorities right now? What are you working towards? It's obviously the general election.